nothing's really held as long as this does. Like, it'll be an hour.
Oh, this
and
is,
I'll be tingly for like an hour.
This
and it's
is
awesome.
Doing it. It's still so tingly. Good. It's wonderful. It's all over my lower back.
I love it. Huh. You want to try some?
No, I'm cool.
Hello, and welcome to the sixth ever episode of Keyfort, a podcast about playing Keyforge in a fort with friends. Today on Keyfort, a story of intrigue and deceit.
You know that I know that you know that I know.
Things get lumpy for Brobnar.
It's probably one of the worst houses, but I like it.
Where would you put it on the list of worst?
It's probably down there at the bottom.
And Jeff gets kicked off a podcast about Keyforge.
There could be a whole new generation coming to this that maybe then discovers magic and goes, holy shit, this is so much cooler than Keyforge because I wish I could take my Keyforge decks and mix them all together and make something super OP. And they find magic and they're like, oh, dang.
Let's open up the fort.
Hello and welcome to the Keyfort Podcast, a podcast where we talk about Keyforge in a fort. I'm Scott.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Dan.
And we're joined here by our neighbor, friend, and producer, Jason.
Hello.
We've got a very special episode for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about Brobnar and whether we like it or not and if it's lumpy. And we're also going to compare Magic the Gathering and Keyforge.
Fort Report!
All right, your fort report today, you guys. See, today was a pretty weird day in Minneapolis. We started with a little bit of rain and darkness and dreariness, and then it just, the skies opened up. As I was getting ready for this podcast this morning, I was thinking about having this be another rainy podcast day because it seems like we just get some really weird weather, but it turned out to be a really nice one. Today is my 17th wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
So I want to shout out to Cammie. Nice. That's cool. It's a junior in high school. Next year, my marriage has to start thinking about what it's going to do for the rest of its life and how it's going to succeed in life. And it's taken us 18 years to get there. So that's kind of fun. We've got 2 weeks of leagues to cover in this episode. And the first week, let's see, that's week five. Week five. Jason rolled into week five undefeated.
4-0.
After just taking Jeff down at the knees and made him cry. And I think we've got a little bit more on that with Jason, I think.
I knew I had a target on my back, and I was up against Scott. A few days before the match, Scott's coming up to me. He's like, hey, what do you got? What do you got planned? What's your strat?
I was poking you a little bit, you know, because I know that you've got a strategy. You know, we've talked about it on the podcast before where you like to play the same deck and bring it in.
Yeah, my strategy is going to be what it always is the win. And I win.
Elegant.
I win by using the same deck over and over again. It's a good deck. I know what it does. And I think in adaptive, that is exactly what you need. You need a deck that you know how it performs. It doesn't necessarily need to win, but you need to know how well it lost or won so you can bid chains properly against it. So I know Scott's up to something, but I let it go. I'm like, I'm not going to let him shake my strat. A G.
Oh, we're talking the EGs now.
Scott, Jeff, and I, we do a disc golf league every Monday night, the night before Keyforge League. And I'm on a card with Jeff, and it's getting towards the end of the night.
Partners.
We were partners?
We were partners. Yeah. Thanks for remembering.
Towards the
I can't remember now if we were or not. We were on the same card, though.
Yeah.
So.
No, you were. Yeah, you guys were teammates.
Towards the end of the night, I'm like, hey, Jeff, what's Scott thinking?
I knew Scott was up to something. Because I've gone on record in the past saying how Scott's favorite board games are Subterfuge, Misdirection, and Stabbing Your Friends in the Back. So, Jason.
Speaking of which, I confided this piece of information to you.
He did, but he also talks about the meta all the damn time, and this is the ultra meta. I had a chance to alter the course of direction in our league. And so Jason says, is this a good Jason voice?
Yeah, you know anything? What should I look out for?
And I just said, you might want to think about mixing it up a little bit. Because I knew his strat was to play that same damn banger, because why would you not? And I just said, you might want to think about mixing it up.
We finished that hole up, and I'm like, I got to push Jeff a little more. So I go up to him. I'm like, you know, as a previous partner, you're obligated to tell me what you know.
Previous opponent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew he was going to crack.
Right? Oh, I see. You just pushed him a little bit. You saw weakness and just knew you could drive
He chiseled right through my stone heart.
And he's like, you know, If you know the name of the deck you're playing, you can play it on Crucible like 49 times.
You said that? Yeah. You told him that? Yeah. No way.
I said, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but as long as you know the name of a deck, you can go try it.
So I'm driving home like, what am I going to do? And I decide before I get home, like, okay, the best use of this information is to switch up decks. Scott's planning on one thing. I'm going to switch it up, right? I have a kind of a backup banger.
Secret banger.
And it's very similar to my other banger as far as houses goes. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, he's been using Crucible, and I don't use Crucible too much, but like, let me log on and give it a shot. I got to get familiar with this deck, so I have to do a few matches with it. As soon as I log on top of the list, I see Scott's username. I'm like, what? And he doesn't know my username. You can spectate matches. So I click on it, and I start watching his match. I'm like, oh, that's the deck he's using. And he's playing against some guy. But I start looking at the deck and realizing this is like a curated deck against my deck. like my deck is great at Amber generation, and it has Mars and all this stuff. And his is anti-Mars, and it just steals Amber over and over again. So I'm like, well, every good deck I have has Mars in it. So I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm just going to stick with the same, different but same deck as a backup. I go to bed. And then so I start playing his deck a little bit so I could get used to it. Like thinking if he's playing with it the night before the match, that's probably what he's going to be using. So I play with it a few times. I win once and lose once, but I get the gist of his deck. I do this at work.
just grinding. We're on that grind every day, ladies and gentlemen.
Scott's probably going to log in to Crucible and play a match, right? So I did a search on my Finder on the Crucible as his username, and I was like highlighted red, like can't find this text. And I kept it at the bottom of my screen as it did work. And then around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it just turns to gray. I'm like, what? I got him.
Right? Oh my God. All day, just a son of a bitch.
I go on there and I see that he's playing Knopf. And I look at the decks. I'm like, yeah, Scott's using the same deck. Great. Then I look over at Knopf and he's like, Knopf's using my deck.
Just a standard Tuesday with our friends.
He enlisted Knopf to help
God
play against it. Nice. Wow.
This is why I don't feel bad about what I did.
Next level,
go
boys.
On record.
Next level. Let's
Jesus
go.
Jesus wept.
So I'm flipping out. I'm like, I don't know what to do now. My deck is too close to my other deck. It's like, it's going to lose. So my backup strategy is go bomb. I got a bomb in the fort. I'm just going to tank it, thinking that Scott isn't going to know it's a bomb. I'm hopefully going to make it think it's underperforming so he doesn't know how bad of deck it is. And then it's going to go to chains, and that's hopefully my best chance to win.
Elegant. Wow.
That's deep.
That is some meta.
Yep.
You guys are next level.
Yep.
Like, there are two echelons in our league. Dan and I show up and we're like, that one looks good.
I'm going to play the freshie, the port freshie.
Yeah, I said I was going to play episode 3's freshie, and then I was going to play the control deck I just popped, and then ended up playing a completely random deck.
But that's why I'm undefeated.
That's why you are the best.
So I started this process the exact night of week 4 ending, and he was undefeated.
Yeah, you messaged me. You're like, what was that deck you played against, Jason? What was the name of it?
And I plugged it into the Crucible, and I played with it all week long. I got a dozen games in on this thing.
That's why I told you 49.
I know this thing more than I know any of my decks at this point, and I love it. It's such a fun deck to play. It's so great. If you want to go take a look at it, what's the name of it again?
IP Bithith of the Solid Shop.
Yeah,
we'll post it on the notes.
Yeah, I mean, it's on there. You can go look. You can just go look and see what Jason's been playing and see it.
This is like, what, 2 o'clock on game day, right? Yep. League day on a Tuesday, because that's what we do at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, is coordinate subterfuge and practice Keyforge games. Walk us through kind of leading up to league that night.
The three of us, Jeff, Scott, and I, we're going to make a trip to Dreamer's Vault, a local game store that's close by, to take care of some business. We get in the car, and Scott's like, so what's your strat? Same as it is, man. Like, it's not changing. I wrestled for a while. Like, do I ever let Scott know that I know? What's more important, me knowing, or if I tell him, is he going to then switch it up because he thinks I switched it up?
And that thought had started to enter my mind with the way you answered it. So we were going into Dreamers, and I was thinking, like, oh, what,
are either of you Sicilian
here? Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Jesus.
It's true.
You know that's that true. I know that you know that I know.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right.
We go into Dreamers and we deal with what we're dealing with. And then we're at the checkout counter. And Scott's like, what do you think about popping freshies tonight? Like, I'm like, for league? He's like, yeah. In my head, I'm like, Fuck yeah. I think my chances of winning with a freshie is better than a bomb bomb.
And that's what I was thinking too, because I've been playing with your deck all week and I like it did really well on the Crucible and it bangs. It bangs hard. And yep. I didn't actually have any success playing against Knopf, and I also enlisted Adam too.
God.
Jesus.
And so I had some play on it and I was not feeling confident at all. So I offered this, hey, you know, let's pop some fresh and figure this out. Let's play some sealed tonight.
That's
adaptive.
A pretty Scott maneuver, actually.
Yep.
Yeah. Dan's over here like, yeah, this checks out. Mm-hmm. Step of the way.
We get back to the fort and we pop the freshies. And I open up probably like one of the worst bomb bombs I've seen.
It's a bomb bomb. It's a shitty bomb like, bomb. It needs to go to charity.
There's nothing that was clicking in it.
Mm.
I popped a pretty nice one. This thing had 15 beasts in it and a Niflheim.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was at the table and you're like, what the
That's right.
What the?
Holy I popped that freshie and I was like, okay. It had every single beast in Untamed and it had Mars in it and it had every single beast in Mars in it. And all the Mars beasts.
Wow.
Dude, your battle board was out of control.
Yeah, it's
that
like, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
It's very straightforward because it's just here's all the creatures, here's all the beasts. We put them all in this one deck. Christ. Have fun with it. Yeah, it's a weird deck. I'll show it to you. It's interesting.
Scott beat me down first match. Then I got it when we swapped, and I beat him down. It's probably a little closer. And then went to Chains.
Oh, and you know what was great about how this went to Chains initially? We used one of Dan's wooden counters where you can dial in your chains.
Yeah, because Dan's got the sweet gear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it has the brakes in it. So those are good to use because you can see, like, where am I at?
Yep. It is neat.
Yep. So we decided that we were going to just dial it in and not speak to each other while we were bidding.
Oh, like a negotiation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he dialed in his bid, and then he, like, gently slid it to me, making eye contact with me, and I pick it up. It's one.
I'm going to slide you a number.
He's got one. So I dial in my bid. And I gently slide it back to him, and he looks at it. Two.
Two. God damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he looks at me, and he sees the resolve in my eye to take this to, like, 12 chains this way. And he just, like, that's when you...
That's when I lost?
That's when you lost. That's when you lost.
Wow.
Well, my strategy was... So he went to six. And,
oh, okay.
And then my strategy was to jump it up past the decision point of seven,
yep.
Right, up to eight or nine.
Yeah.
And then because I can probably deal with 10 if he bids 9 and I bid 8.
Yeah. So if you win the dice roll, you're going first.
So I went to 8 and then Jason, you just like jumped right to 13 from 8.
That's a Jason maneuver though. He's like, you know what?
Shutting you out.
Yeah,
let's
go. I thought I had it with that.
Mm.
But the problem was with chains in this particular deck is it prevented me from getting the creatures out.
Oh.
So it didn't really have any other good cards to play other than creatures. With the chains, I couldn't get board control because I couldn't get the creatures out.
Right. It was harder to get four of a kind than four.
I started
out of
to
six.
Catch up towards the end of it, but then
it was too late. It was too late. I took him down. All of my mind games throughout the entire week
culminated.
Whittled him down.
Hours
destroyed
of time
his
wasted.
Spirit.
That's a pretty good insight into just the mechanics of our gamer friendship in
just,
general, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Insight into Scott.
Yeah, right. This is what you're dealing with. You know, it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I don't think I would have enjoyed it with anyone nearly as much as if it wouldn't have been with Jason, you know? Because it's fun to do shit like that with you. You know, this guy wanted to get that assassination game. What game is that called?
Assassination.
He wanted to play it. He busted it out
like
5 years ago and was like, hey, should we try to murder each other? Yeah, so that was week five.
Oh, that was one heck of a recap.
Week six of our leagues was just on Tuesday, and we had some interesting matchups there. I rolled in with Ryan and he took me down, which is good because he finally got a win. That's nice. And Jeff, you had an interesting matchup.
I did. Nick and I went down to the wire. We brought the same houses, Shadows, Brobnar, and Dis, and his deck was just way better than mine. And I was going to use season 3's freshie, then I didn't. I'm an idiot. But ended up getting crushed. I had him 2 keys, checked at 7, and then he stole some and literally turned around like 19 or 20 or 21 amber in one turn. And I was like, well, there it is.
Yeah, but the star of the show really was Knopf.
I wasn't here for that because I dipped as soon as I knew I was dead.
Yeah,
it was like, I got to go, guys.
Yeah, so Knopf rolled in hot on his bye week to just come hang out and enjoy some time. And I almost killed him.
Yep.
The thing you got to know about Knopf is he cannot sit still. And he, both he and Jason are agents of chaos.
Yep.
So he was in here putting, and Scott's in here with a big old wine glass with some wine in it.
It's league night. I'm enjoying, I've got my space. I'm enjoying my time with Ryan, my opponent. And, you know, meanwhile.
Yeah, meanwhile. Yeah, that's
over your head.
Yep.
Hitting hard. Yeah. Yep. I yelled at him a couple times, and I felt bad about it.
You went total dad mode.
Yeah, I did. He even told me that I wasn't his dad once.
Did he? Yeah. I didn't hear that.
He says, "You're not my dad." It's like, oh, well, it's a very fair point. Shit. You aren't my dad, but you know, I'm trying to win here. But Chris, I know you're listening, and I love you still. But
so, explain to the people why it was an issue, because where Scott was sitting above the beer fridge is a mini disc golf basket hanging. Yeah. So when you're putting with these minis, if you miss, they're just coming right back on the table.
Knocking
or
wine
Scott's
over,
classy
all
wine glass.
You've got like Ryan right next to it, and then Scott across the table from that, and then Jason and I were playing the game next to that. So there was a lot that could go wrong there.
Yeah, but I was loving it.
Yeah, you were egging him
on.
You
were an agent of chaos.
I wanted a little payback from last week, huh?
Ooh.
I didn't necessarily want to see Scott flip out, but I'm like, I want to see where this goes. Like,
yeah. Well, Ryan mentioned to Knopf, "I'm going to punch you."
Yeah, he called
if one of those discs hits me, I'm going to punch you.
I'm going to punch you if one of those hits me.
So would you say that's you're great. As tilted as the fort is?
I would absolutely say that definitely got me on tilt. I went 0-2. I definitely learned something about keeping your cool in league play, you know, because you might encounter this at one of these tournaments that you go play at. You know, maybe there's someone putting right behind
you, or
pretending that they're an orangutan on the table and, you know, coming up and messing your cards up and asking you for a freaking key update every 5 minutes.
Key update! Key update! Hey, key update!
Chris.
I love
you're
Chris.
Right there. You can see it.
I'm buying him a bottle of rum for this.
I love you, Chris. I love you. I love you. All right. And that brings us to this week's fortune cookie. This is brought to you by our new sponsor this week, Vigna del Batrone.
Il Batrone.
Il Batrone. Bringing you all the finest wines in all the Crucible. So check that out. You can find it at the Batrone.
Okay. God damn it.
And this is a special cookie from Jason. He brought it over because he has fortune cookies in his home for special occasions.
He literally said, "Hold on, I have to walk home and get the special cookie for this show."
So this is how we're gonna end the fortune cookies. We're not gonna do any more after this. So we'll see what's up. We'll see what's in this one here.
Everyone rejoices.
Yeah, let's see. It was a good experiment. You're going to have to come up with a new porn star name after your sister trademarks it.
That's great.
What?
Yep, you're gonna have to come up with a new porn star name in parentheses after your sister trademarks it.
Wow.
Okay, so let that be the key to your fortune, and let that guide you in your gaming this week.
All right, so I wanted to talk about Brobnar. It's probably one of the worst houses, but I like it.
Where would you put it on the list of worst?
It's probably down there at the bottom, maybe with Sanctum, or it doesn't help you win. It's a problem.
Yeah, I put Brobnar above Sanctum because it can at least deal with Sanctum.
Sure.
You know,
it's like
paper, rock, scissors a little bit.
Well, it forces you to deal with it. There's some damage in it. It's like you have to fight, so go do it. You can't
it's one
just
of the things
that
heals. One of the few things that is not going to care as much about that armor because you're just going to hit so hard.
Yeah.
But my playstyle in Magic was always big stompy creatures. That was my favorite thing ever.
Right, and you like quick red decks too, right?
Yeah, well, we'll get into this later, but Grull is the color of my heart. Green, nice. Red.
So how lumpy is Brobnar?
It's the lumpiest, obviously.
What do you mean by lumpy, though? Yeah, like I feel like I do, but I'm also nodding my head like, when a gamer says crunchy, like you introduce someone to crunchy, right? And you're like, "We're gamers. I should know this." So I'm just like, "Yeah, it's lumpy."
Yeah, I asked him. I asked him what RPG he plays, and he says GURPS, and he said ah, and I said ah, crunchy. And then like 30 seconds later, he was like, "So what does crunchy mean?"
So what do you mean? Yeah. So what do you mean by lumpy?
I have not said lumpy. Lumpy is not my word.
Well, who says lumpy? It's on the show notes.
Jason.
God right. damn it, Jason.
So why is Brobnar so lumpy?
It has muscles?
And lumpy and bumpy.
Let's talk about what Jason means by lumpy.
Good conversation. That is great conversation. All right. Okay. It's either going to hit or it's not. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. There's a couple different flavors of Brobnar. There's the play effects, mm-hmm. and then there's the on-fight effects.
Right.
It has some stuff to pick those play effects back up, like the War Drummer.
Yep.
But if you don't get one of those, then those play effects kind of fall flat.
Right, and it really seems like in order for you to have any kind of good Brobnar in your deck, you have to have the Ganger Chieftain and you have to have the War Drummer. You have to have those
if
two.
If you have the
so
play effects.
So you can make some stuff happen.
So like it's like two separate synergies within that house, but like you need the key part of one of them at least.
I still think that Ganger Chieftain is critical to any good Brobnar because it's so versatile. It's one of the only really good cards in Brobnar that is a common, that comes a lot, and is very, very strong.
What's that one?
When you play it, you ready and fight with a neighboring creature.
Sure.
It's like mana acceleration in Magic, yeah. which we'll get to. It's right. just like you go boom, boom in order. And, you know, if there's nobody on the other side of the board, he's ready. You can reap or, yeah, he's a great card. The play effects are really nice with War Drummer. Mm-hmm.
That is another way it's kind of like Stompy Green is the acceleration that you can do with the on, the use, mm-hmm. ready and use things. Mm-hmm. So actually my favorite card in Brobnar is the Gauntlet of Command. It's mm-hmm. it's an artifact. It's not as targetable as your creatures, but it also enables you to both fight because you get your fight out and then you can also reap with it beforehand.
Right. Remind me what that card does again.
It's an artifact that has an action, says ready and fight with a friendly creature.
Yeah. Yeah. Great card.
And is it friendly or Brobnar? I can't
remember. Friendly creature.
It's friendly creature. So it's way better because it's just you're playing one card out of house. So if you have some banger with a reap ability that's out of Brobnar, then
it also works well with like a troll.
So you can
reap to heal and first. Then you can fight.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're hitting with 8. My favorite card would probably be Autocannon.
Autocannon.
That's an interesting one.
It's an interesting first play, but if you have the right deck, I got it out recently in the last, I don't know, in the last week or two. My first play, I had an artifact. I had Autocannon sitting in there in my hand and was like, cool, okay, play some creatures now. And it hurts both sides, but.
Well, but Brobnar has a lot of things that target damaged Brobnar creatures. So that's perfect for them.
Yeah, they can take one, you know.
Yeah.
And if you have Sanctum with it, the armor soaks it, so you're fine.
So, yeah, I really thought about, because we have an Autocannon in that freshie from last
week. That's where it was.
We'll touch on that a little later.
Yeah.
But I thought about bringing that to Leagues and playing against Ryan, because he has a really good deck that has really strong Brobnar in it, and it has 3 Coward's Ends, where that's play, gain 3 chains, destroy each undamaged creature.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about bringing that out there and playing it with him, because it totally destroys the Coward's Ends if everything comes out with 1 damage on it.
It's just like it exemplifies what Brobnar is. It's just more fight,
right?
More fight. It's really a house that you have to kind of play counter to the theme to make it work, because you need to make it generate amber. And like there's a couple cards that like get you amber when you kill something, but that's one of your cards that you played from your hand, like that takes up the slot of something that could make you kill more or mm-hmm. give you a way to generate amber.
Yeah, or it just messes up the game. It has a lot of global capture. It's got the one artifact that captures an ember every time a creature dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Ryan deck has in it. It's got this one artifact that every time a creature dies, it captures an ember. And he's got 3 Coward's Ends in there. So he just keeps me at 0 ember the entire game.
Well, and they've got Unguarded Camp. Of course, we're going to get this wrong, but I'm going for it.
Yep.
For every creature in excess of your opponent's creatures, a friendly creature captures 1, like, max per creature,
sure.
I think. So it's great. Like, if you've got board control, because sometimes Brobnar's about that,
mm-hmm.
you just, like, boom. So there is a little bit of capture. There's no steal, obviously. I don't think there's any steal. There's some lose. You got Bumpsy.
Mm-hmm. Bumpsy, yeah.
And a few others where it's like if something happens, they lose one or whatever. Mm. But
I guess a good way of us moving this on is because we're going to talk about Magic the Gathering
mm-hmm.
and our comparison to it. And you alluded earlier in the podcast that Brobnar is kind of your Magic soul. You want to talk a little bit about that?
In every league or in every Escalation League we play, I pretty much always make a green-red deck just because that's my happy place. Little acceleration, big stompy creatures, explosions and stuff. It's great. It's fun.
So what have you found playing this game that kind of mimics that style? Do you have any decks that you get the kind of same feeling from when you play those?
No, not really, honestly. I played Nick's deck, actually, the last time. I played him in League. His deck had some decent Brobnar that was, you know, I did get that Troll Gauntlet of Command.
Oh,
and a Headhunter too, I think I had out at the same time. Like, and then we were kind of swapping back and forth, but like between the Troll and the Headhunter who was attacking or whatever.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, I pretty much carried the final Chains game on that combo, keeping his board clear and still generating amber with the Reaps and the Headhunter.
Yeah, for me, it was, I like to play those really stupid black-blue decks
of course.
In Magic that are all very milly and control.
You hit some good ones the last few exclamation
and,
links.
And I just think that they're pretty straightforward to build because you pick a theme and you grab it and go, and you're always going to frustrate people, and it's super fun. I enjoy that anyways. I enjoy frustrating my friends. I got a deck called Dick the Many-Eyed, and Richard the Many-Eyed. I'm going to just call him Old Dick.
Yeah,
old and man. He's pretty good. He's an untamed Dis and Logos that has a whole bunch of draw and a whole bunch of archive and all the good Dis control in it. You know, the Succubus, the it's got a bunch of Shulers, so that I got the Ember Imp. You know, it's got all the good stuff in it, and I really enjoy playing that because it makes me feel like I'm playing a really good control deck.
Yeah, this is very much that.
Yeah, it does feel like that. And so for those of you listening at home who have played Magic the Gathering, we did the 40-card format, you know, where you start with 6 boosters, 8 boosters, you build 40-card decks, and then eventually go up to 60. But the most common question playing Scott in Escalation the last few years is, how many cards do you have left in your deck? And you're like, I'm not telling you. And he's like,
condition for victory.
Hey, somebody Google if you can look that up or not and ask about that. And then we would just...
Is that how I sound?
No. But that's how it sounds in my head because I'm like, I don't want to freaking tell you. Just let it go. But then, you know, you'd be like, fine, I have 12 left. And he's like, you lose.
What does Dan sound like in your head?
Just like Dan.
Really?
Yeah.
So I have a special stupid dumb voice and Dan sounds like Dan?
It's situational. Dan doesn't put himself in many of those situations where I have to apply anything other than regular Dan voice.
I usually start looking this stuff up on my turn, so I have an answer ready to crush somebody's soul.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
True.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we have a pretty interesting take on the Magic versus Keyforge, just because of how us as a group have consumed Magic over the last 4 or 5 years through this Escalation League, and I don't think a lot of people really play Escalation Leagues.
So how we got into this Escalation League stuff was Knopf wanted to play some Magic and was looking for a format for us. And my brother had just talked about wargaming. An Escalation League, if you haven't heard of that, is where you start with a small battle force and you start adding however many points or dollars or whatever metric you want to add to it per week. You have to paint that.
Mm.
Not going to paint your Magic cards, but
no.
We do open, when we were doing it, you know, we opened 2 packs every couple weeks or whatever.
Yeah, 2 packs every 2 weeks. That way we could ensure that 8 people playing Magic together stayed on the same power curve. And initially when we started this podcast, I was talking about how it's going to be so great because it's going to save us so much money. We're not going to be spending $12 every 2 weeks on Magic.
Yeah, and instead we spend like $100 a month on Keyforge.
Yeah, thanks, Fantasy Flight.
Yeah,
it's really nice of you. You know, like
you guys nailed it with that one.
You extend an olive branch and we just eat it.
And we're not even the most extreme. When I was in talking at Dreamer's Vault buying some freshies at some point, they were saying how on Tuesdays they have their sanctioned events, right? He's like, oh, there's a guy in here who has 160 decks. And I was like, dang, Gina. Because, you know, there's people trading and like.
Right, and people enjoy it and they just want to spend their money.
I want a Maverick triple lands, quadruple bumpsy deck. And, you know, that's cool. There's kind of a fun aspect to that. But you said something earlier, going back to kind of the Magic conversation, because we haven't talked about that this season yet. But it's on everybody's mind because it's a Richard Garfield game. But the decks we gravitate toward sort of mirror our Magic preferences. Because, you know, Untamed in my mind is like green deck. Kind of boring, kind of reliable if you play it right. In Magic, I would look for synergy and be like, okay, do I have a bunch of black and white vampires or do I have goblins, you know, this league? And I just start there because percentage-wise, you just have as many as you can. But I kind of like the fact that Keyforge is so different that I'll look at my boxes and be like, what do I want to play tonight? Not, is this a deck that's going to win? But, oh man, I haven't played a Brobnar Sanctum Untamed boring deck in a while.
Oh, this has a cool card in it that I haven't seen in a while, and I want to see how that
right.
plays.
Or it's like, yeah, I want to play tonight, but I don't want to play a deck that's always nerfing people and doing this. So it's like, I'm probably not going to grab a Dis Shadows deck.
Right.
Yep.
But that's what I love about this. Just buy a few decks and start playing with it. You don't have to tinker. There's no pressure. There's no personal animosity with your friends because they always build a certain kind of deck and you know you can't beat it because it's just a cheap way out or who knows, you know?
Yeah, someone spent $1,200 on this one deck.
Right.
Right? Just that does this thing and it just kicks your ass.
Right.
Oh, do you want to play some Magic? No, thanks.
Yeah, I got $600 worth of special lands in my deck.
So that's what the Escalation League kind of did for us for a while. We'd play like a couple months worth of it and then you just kind of shelve those cards.
Right, you shelve them and you're done with it.
Yeah.
And now we've got bookcases of them.
Well, we do have
bottom
several.
Of the wall units got, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 giant boxes.
Yeah,
just
they're,
mine.
They're all commons, though. None of them are rares, so don't try to steal them from the fort.
Or contact me, and they're all yours for a nominal fee.
maybe that's what we should do. We should do a podcast giveaway for all of our Magic cards. Like retweet. All these things.
Yeah, I
we'll
say that.
All of our Magic cards.
I immediately retract that statement because I think you're the same way, Dan, and maybe you, Jason. Like,
I'm a pack rat.
Maybe one day I'm going to want to look at those and like bust them out on a rainy day and like draft a made up cube from my Escalation League. From like,
let's burn them.
No.
No. No, thanks.
That's no.
I'd burn them.
You would?
Let's do it.
You would burn anything.
Yeah. Agent of Chaos.
Let's burn it.
No, but honestly, I look at those Magic cards, and I don't know what I'm ever going to do with them.
Yeah.
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 Literally nothing.
And it would actually be really incredibly nostalgic for me because I've burned Magic cards before at like a youth group church rally back in the mid-90s.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, throw all your Harry Potter in, throw all your Metallica CDs in, throw all your Magics of the Devil.
Dude, you're mixing like 2.5 decades of pop culture. You weren't burning Metallica CDs and Harry Potter books at the same time. Maybe
yes,
you
I was.
Were. Maybe you were.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My
I
Jesus.
Absolutely was because I freaking love Load and Reload. And those are 90s albums.
You love those albums.
I do.
They're not even good.
I do. I no, they like are Metallica good. Go listen to them again. They're good. Load is a great album.
I might be alienating our user base, but whatever. I think everybody gets the joke about Magic.
I don't know.
There could be a whole new generation coming to this that maybe then discovers Magic and goes, holy shit, this is so much cooler than Keyforge because I wish I could take my Keyforge decks and mix them all together and make something super OP. And they find Magic and they're like, oh, dang.
I think there's always going to be people who find pride in building those decks and that's not going to go away.
No, that's a good point.
Ryan, it's a different play style for sure. Like it's not what we end up being.
It's different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, because Ryan has talked about that where he feels like the transition, right? You lose a little bit of the talent and skill of the player when you don't have a choice in building your deck. Because in our Escalation Leagues, you had to have that strategic mind or that approach. And Ryan was really good at that. And I think he misses that with Keyforge because it's like, you got to keep buying decks till you find the banger.
I don't know. That's where the elegance of Archons comes up. It's seriously true. That's where the elegance of Archons comes up. And you guys should, if you guys aren't playing in an adaptive league, you should find some friends and start playing it because it's fun. The games that you get to play with your friends are fun. And being able to look at your friends' decks and being like, oh, well, you know, I've seen this thing win 5 weeks in a row and I'm going to try to figure this out. Or I'm going to try to find something that beats this. Out of my 20 decks, you know, I'm going to go look because there's something there, right? He has a combo that I know how it works. There's going to be a card out there that's going to break it because that's how this whole game is built, right? So you just go look and you just understand what these cards do and you go on the decks of Keyforge and you look at through all your decks. You just punch in a card name and it pulls up all your decks with a card in it. And then you can go look and see what you got and you can make a plan, right? Which is kind of fun. And so the meta changes. We used to build different Magic decks and we used to play them against each other, right? It's the same thing. You just buy more of them and understand their idiosyncrasies and matched up against another one. And you can't really get that outside of a league format where you see the same decks over and over again.
So that between the meta of a group where you're just playing whatever decks you've got, and then there's the adaptive format, which is a totally different ball game, which equalizes a lot because there's only so much value in countering another deck. Even if that deck is really good, then you have to somehow decide how many chains that's worth, that counter is worth.
And that's something that changes over time from week to week once people start understanding these decks like Jason did. You know, he honed his chains in at 12, 13, and that's where he's comfortable with. And it's all public knowledge for us to know. okay, well, his strategy is to win with this deck at 13 chains, and he always does it. So that sets a bar and a baseline for that deck.
Your situation is a little weird because you made him not play that deck.
Exactly. I pushed him off of his strategy.
It was an elegant. Yeah.
Pop a freshie. So
We didn't talk about this, but he played his shit kicker deck against my double Mac and crushed it. And he beat me and I beat him. And then I bid up to 15 chains and it was a close freaking game.
Yeah,
at 15 chains.
Yeah, it's a good deck.
I forgot about that one.
It's a really good deck.
What's your double Mac?
It's on the website because I played it a couple times.
Yeah,
so it's got shadows. It's
on the web.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mac the knife, I think.
Oh, Mac the knife. Yep. Okay, that's the double Mac. Okay, gotcha.
And for the record, that put me in the lead again. I'm once again the best.
Shut up.
He's back on his strategy, and he's munching everyone's butts. But I got to munch his butt first. I was the first to munch his butt.
Great.
Ugh. Probably the only, right? He's going to go undefeated except for me.
No.
Right? Because I pushed him off his strat.
No.
See, and you can only get this stuff if you're actually playing in an adaptive league because of how intense the bidding is and how well you have to know these decks to be able to win. And I don't think you get the same thing in other formats.
I mean, if you're playing a vault tour, is it against the rules to show up at the other guy's house?
I think they call that against the law, depending on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, he walks in and you're like elbows deep in his deck box. What are you doing? Don't worry about it.
We still got to talk about the curator.
Yeah, the curator of the bets on Tungsten.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, I got it pulled up on my phone. Today. This thing had a lot of great stuff. I really enjoyed it. I played it adaptive against you and it went to chains and I won with it.
I played it in league against Ryan and it won. It was great.
It's got really good logos. It's got a bouncing death quark. It's got the help from future self along with the time traveler. And that's great because you play that and it's draw two cards and get two ember pretty much.
Right. So you've got these cards you don't care about. It's got a penny. It's got the time traveler. I actually, in my last game against Ryan, I bouncing death quarked, killed the time traveler with it, killed one of his important things. And then I brought it back with help from future self.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
It was great.
It's great. And it has the auto cannon in it. That was really interesting with the bad penny, where bad penny just comes out and has a really bad day. You know, it's just auto death six times. And then she has to get discarded because she's just stuck in your hand. If this thing had a library access and a wild wormhole, it would be popping.
Bang.
It'd be so fun.
Wild wormhole?
Yeah, if it had a wild wormhole.
Let's talk about artwork for a second, because that might be my favorite. Because that little dude that's getting blown out of that wormhole looks pissed.
Yeah.
But he's super cute. He's just this like cute little octopus thing, but he's just fucking pissed. He's like,
yeah, and the shadows, of course, it has two poison waves and two relentless whispers, and I think relentless whispers were fantastic.
Yeah, they actually are. They were great in that deck.
And a bait and switch, of course. So, yep. And then two Umbras.
Even the Brobnar, it had the War Drummer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it,
with
even
Smash
the on plays,
and a few others.
Yeah,
right?
There were like three on play cards, so it could bring those back, and you could play them again.
We post all of these on the website in the show notes. So if you want to play on Crucible, all you got to do is grab that deck URL and plug it in and import it, and you can play on the Crucible. And let us know what you think. Let us know if you win with it on the show notes.
We all called it a banger.
We did. And we did say banger on that one.
Yep.
Doug weighed in. Doug
yes,
said
did.
Banger,
Doug
too.
Doug did say banger.
Mm-hmm. He started it. He said, mm-hmm. I think it bangs, and yep. I think we just went around the horn on that one.
Yep. I think we all confirmed what we saw, that it was a banger.
It was a 5-1. I was the only loss, I think. Like a punk.
That's sad.
Right. So we're not going to pop a freshie this week. Jeff, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Age of Ascension, you know, by the time you guys hear this, it might already be out, but we have, what, three boxes?
Yeah, I think there's three boxes coming to the fort.
Really? Yeah, okay. Kind of tripped and ordered two more boxes. I know we bought a box with fort money.
Ham-pizzaed it.
Ham-pizzaed it a little bit. Got a little nervous and made a financial decision on a whim.
They all are going to go. So
but
whatever.
I regret nothing because, mm-hmm. yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of packs, but... Kind of keeping true to the way we like to play this game, we're going to open some, we're going to have some fun with it, and we're going to come back with another season and check back in with you guys once we've had a chance to, you know, get some new jokes, get some new mechanics, and really feel these things out, you know.
It's, what we're saying is we're going to take a season break.
We're taking a little break because, I mean, I personally, you guys, I haven't shared this with you yet, but I'm a little bit nervous about having a mic in front of my face as I'm learning all these new mechanics. I mean,
we get every card wrong.
We get every card wrong. And Jeff has compiled a little list of listener feedback, and he was going to go through that too because
yeah.
it's a theme that comes up
It's I mean, we're just here kind of talking about the game, and we know what we're talking about at this table, sort of. Who cares?
Yeah, right? it doesn't matter.
You know, we've got a couple here I'll just read. So Gaming Vice from Reddit, he said, "You guys are hilarious, and I'm pretty sure I'd listen to this podcast even if it wasn't about Keyforge. That said, I'm pretty sure you got the mechanics wrong on every card you mentioned or described. Still entertaining, though. But I think that was only after episode one or two when you said Tunk was a grabber jammer and Charette steals four.
Yeah, we've
we're
said
it, still we've, getting the cards wrong, I yeah. guarantee it.
Yes, yeah. we are. We've probably screwed one up today. But anyway.
In fact, you know what? I bet there's somebody out there that has started compiling a list of all the things we've said wrong in their head.
That would be really flattering,
I was
going to
say, don't flatter yourself. Like, well, like,
heads, as they're listening to it, they're just like, okay, they got the Tunk wrong. They called this card that card. So if you're that person and any of these stick out to you, please get on social media and just tell us how bad we suck at these, because I actually kind of find it pretty entertaining.
It's actually pretty
mess up.
It's actually pretty fun. So at Senior Maracas, El Senior Maracas from Twitter, I just started listening to the first episode. You guys are setting the audio quality bar really high for Keyforge podcasts. Also, we need pics of the fort. So we're going to try to get you guys some pictures. There's a lot of shit in here.
Yeah,
so
and
we'll
actually
piece it out, I think.
Yeah, you can see a lot of that on keyfortpodcast.com. We try to post a picture of the fort with every episode, so you can go check that out. I think I've been pretty good about doing that.
And I know somebody said something about the mono poster. For those of you who love post rock, yeah, that was done by my best friend John way back in the day during his art school days. So pretty cool to have in here. So
and
thanks
I also
for the
like
compliment
to,
there.
I also like to thank Jason again, because he's the only reason we sound good.
That's true. It's all Jason, actually.
The only reason this works is
we're just idiots with microphones in front of our
Jason.
Face.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But they're cool microphones, so hey, we're going to keep doing this. And then the Manic Merc from Twitter. I finished the first episode and thought there was a good blend of humor and insightful content. Love the poker chip idea. That's what we used to bid chains until Jason started the post-it note car salesman negotiation strategy. So thank you guys for some of that feedback. Keep it coming.
As we're recording.
What?
On Twitter, in reference to all the different podcasts out there, Strategic Dino says, some of the ones that started at the beginning have been MIA for a few months now, but Keychains Podcast, Sanctimonious, Death Quark, and Keyfort Podcast all seem to be going strong. So I just want to ensure, Dino, that we will be back and we are still going strong. We're just taking a couple weeks off.
Yeah, we want to enjoy the game kind of without microphones in front of our face. And just as we started playing the game, we want to do it just with us in the fort. And we'll be back a little bit later to talk about our feelings and other things.
I love talking feelings. The other thing is we need time to come up with more jokes because, you know, we just do this naturally. So
there will be more jokes with the new cards. That's how it works.
Yeah, but we love listening and reading your feedback, and we're still waiting on the very first Keyforge sound to be sent in so that we can do our form check, and I know it's going to happen. I just have this good feeling.
Thanks to Brad Andrews, right? Screaming giraffe and a laughing shark or something combined.
That was great.
Yeah, friggin' terrifying. Yep. So
yeah, we got to get him in the fort and record it and see how it sounds.
we're gonna see what we can do.
Yeah.
No, but keep sending that feedback in. You can find us on twitter.com/keyfortpodcast. You can find us at www.keyfortpodcast.com, and you can email us at podcast@keyfortpodcast.com.
It's like a letter to Santa. Just a thought.
All right. Thanks, everybody.